Who's ready? It's hard not to be, right? All right, I think at this time they want to dismiss the kiddos. Y'all go have fun upstairs. Christy's back at the back. All right. As we move forward, we're going to do one last stand up. You know, keep that blood flowing. No sleeping. let's stand. Let's read our declaration together. And I hope that as you read it, like as we've been talking all morning long, that you truly mean and believe what you're saying. So, Jesus, my eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. You may be seated. And Jesus, I pray that you just cover and bless and seal this time. I pray that you bless these families. You know, we're going to continue praying for them. They are family. And so, Lord, they will never not have our prayers. We thank you for always bringing them to our remembrance. We thank you for all those who have been sent. We thank you for all those who have been received here. And Lord, as we said, we want to shift from just listening to what you have to say and start doing it. So Lord, teach us to equip. Teach us to equip and love and guide in all the ways that you see. Lord, speak through me today as I deliver your word for this people, these answers to these questions that we all have. And I pray that you bring more. Because, Lord, there's nothing better than seeking you and asking you directly, what do you want to say about this? So, Lord, speak to each of our hearts. Bring them reminders and examples in their own minds as I speak. And, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're continuing our series. And as I shared last week, which I can't like not say this, but how cool was it to get to baptize people? Like, that was just so awesome. So, man, what a blast. So if you missed it, you did not miss it, because we're going to do more of those. So if you or someone you know wants to get baptized, please reach out to me or reach out to Christy or Amber in the front office, and we will get you on the list, because we're already starting. We already have a few. So we're excited to do that, and we want to give you enough time to invite your friends and family. So with that said, last week I shared one of the questions that we received was, why are there so many rules for Christians? So I was like, that's a pretty good question. I think it merits a discussion and an answer. And I just want to, I'm going to tell you now, just with the way that I think this one's going in my heart, we're probably going to put a pin in this at some point in the discussion today and continue it next week, because there's so much to cover and I don't want you deer in the headlights and not get anything. So is that okay? Can we take it a bite at a time? Is that cool? All right, so that's what I feel led to do today. So my full notes are still there. You can still check it out online, but that's what we're going to do this morning. So I want to give you a basic understanding today before we start anything, and that's we have to understand that some things that we're told to do come from wisdom and experience. We don't like it. We don't like when someone tells us what to do or don't do that, but they're probably saying it because they've been there and done that. Can you hear that today? I hope you can. So I'm going to give you a for instance. Here's a general rule. We don't like that R word, but this is a general rule. We should not stick anything into light sockets. Everyone with me on that? Now listen, here's the kicker. You don't have to obey that rule. It's highly advised that you do, but you don't have to. We're not going to make you. But everyone is taught rules like that. Like, hey, consider this a very strong suggestion from wisdom and experience. Don't stick anything in an electrical socket. Right? We've heard that. Okay? Here's another one. As a father of four, we have general rules at my house. Now, my rules may look like yours. They may look nothing like yours. But for example, my kids know that if they lie about anything, it always increases the consequences. Every single time, because I'm like, Daddy will find out. And very early on, we said, Jesus will tell me, you know. So they're like, what? You know, so, you know, it's like, it will always increase the consequences. Just be honest. And they have found that when they are honest and when they are upfront, things just go much better. And they're like, okay, this is fine. And our goal is about the punishment. Am I back? Okay. They always know that our goal is that not to punish, but it's to teach, to guide, to explain, to understand why we don't do those things. And as they show that understanding, do you need to have a spanking? Probably not. Be honest. Show understanding, right? Does that make sense? So we're going to see some similarities in the scriptures as it pertains to our Father that I think we've kind of got a little bit out of whack, probably off in left field or right field, and we need to find some balance in the middle. Are you with me? All right, so I want to give you some history in the law. This is the what I would call, if you're around me, I use this word often, and it's funny, but this is just me. This is the meaty part, right? This is where things are thick, and you kind of gotta chew a little bit, okay? So the first thing I'm going to talk about today that I want to explain, the Talmud. So the Talmud is the central text of rabbinic Judaism and the primary source of Jewish law, which is referred to as halakha in Hebrew, and Jewish theology. Halakha is the Jewish written law as it pertains to written law and oral law. They mash those together, and that's the halakha, okay? So I'm going to say those words. That's what those are. They're in my notes. So by the time that Jesus began his public ministry, synagogues had formed all over the land of Israel, and academies had been established in Jerusalem to train the rabbis who could teach and judge throughout the nation, right? They're going to bring their problems to someone. Someone needs to listen to it and determine what is according to a religious law or what is according to law, right? General law, okay? So these learned men taught doctrine, they taught parables, they taught Jewish beliefs and folklore, but their main function was to ensure proper observance of Jewish law. This included the general law as well as religious law, like I said. Jewish law is derived from mainly the Pentateuch, so that's the five books of Moses, but it also includes some Jewish common law, and get this, as well as Middle Eastern common law, right? It's how governments form their law. Oh, what are they doing? Oh, that sounds pretty nice. Let's not reinvent the wheel, right? So you're gonna glean from your surroundings. So that's kind of how that was put together. So as Jewish history evolved, economic and social changes necessitated some expansion or modification of their original law. At first, these new regulations and interpretations were not allowed to be written down, but eventually, get this, because of their increasing volume, they had to be written down. Okay? So in order to differentiate between them and the written law of Moses, they were still called oral law. These oral discussions and instructions relating to the Holy Writ make up the Talmud, and that consists of the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Gemara is the commentary of the Mishnah. So if you've ever read a Bible commentary, yeah, we get those from somewhere, right? Our roots, okay? They are the dissertations of Jewish scholars who resided in Babylonia approximately 300 years before and 500 years after the Roman conquest of the land of Israel. So the Mishnah came first, and then the Gemara. All right, so that's a little bit of the history. Like I said, that's the chewy part. So I want to show you where we're going because we have to understand where we've been. So how many laws are there, Chris? So many of us have heard of the Ten Commandments. I'm going to have them pull up that slide for me. I think it's legible, I hope, but if not, I can send it to you. I think so, possibly. If anybody ever wants to make a nice wallpaper or poster of the Ten Commandments, let me know, because I searched for 3 days for something good, and this is the best I got. So, but this is called in Hebrew the Aseret Hadibrot, and that means Ten Commandments. Commandments in Hebrew is mitzvot, and then literal meaning is 10 utterances or statements. So these are the statements that God spoke to Moses, guide the people, and really it pertains a lot to moral law, but it also pertains to religious law, so it's a bit of both. The text of the Ten Commandments, this was for somebody because they asked me. The text of the Ten Commandments actually appears twice in the Bible. That's why some people can't remember where it is, because it's kind of a head fake. But it's shown in Exodus 20, verses 2 through 17, and Deuteronomy 5, verses 6 through 21. Now, we're going to read the Ten Commandments together today. And if you know them, man, shout it out. That's cool. But I think they're going to go to the scriptures found in Exodus 20, starting in verse 1. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Here's the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. Next one, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. No images. Because what we tend to do is, because we can't see God and we want to worship him, we're like, I got to see something to worship, right? You know, it's just how we're wired, I guess. And so we want to build something and say, you're God. That's what he looks like. But if we would remember the scriptures in Genesis, what does God look like? Let us make man in our image. Look around. Verse 5. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Isn't that cool? Couple of generations there, but the massive blessing that comes to those who love him is 1,000 generations. That makes me think of grandma and those prayers, right? Isn't that cool? Next one, verse 7. You shall not misuse or take in vain the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now, that could pertain to using it as an explicative. But it also, I mean, you kind of have to look at history. The scary part is, you ever hear those guys that say, this is what the word of the Lord is, and they are flat wrong, and they don't care. I'm not talking about the ones who do care, and they're wrong. I'm talking about the ones who are flat wrong, and they don't care, right? I would propose that's a misuse of the Lord's name. Next one, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. By what? Keeping it holy. Did you know that, that statement there, not the remember, the keeping it holy, has perplexed us for generations? What does that even mean? Well, everybody's kind of thrown their darts at the dartboard, you know, on what they think that means. And the sad truth is we've tried to act as judge and jury for the ones who don't practice Sabbath the way that we think they ought to practice Sabbath. Who did Jesus say was the Lord of the Sabbath? Him. I think we ought to ask him how he wants us to observe Sabbath and keep that to ourselves between him and us. I think that'd probably be a good advice. All right, let's read on. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. When I read that animals, I immediately thought of my cat, and I don't think she observes the Sabbath. Anyways, all right. Verse 11. I know, right? For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, all that's within them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. And it goes to remind me of Eli's conversation about yesterday. We don't like to wait or rest very much. Like, we sleep, but we don't like to rest. You know what I'm saying? There are people who sleep hours and still don't find rest. There are people who get very little sleep and have an abundant amount of rest. Are you with me? We have to understand what it means to rest. Rest in the Lord. All right, here's the next one. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That one, sadly, has also been forgotten. We're going to talk about that in a second. Next one, verse 13. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Excuse me. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So don't lie about them and don't take their stuff, right? Come on, you think those things would be easy. But did you know we do it all the time? Facebook hasn't really helped that, because now we get to covet all the things they take pictures of. And like, oh, this is so great. Check this out. You know, it's like, ooh, you know. And it's like, that doesn't help. So if it doesn't help and it causes us to sin, lob it off. Delete that account. Get rid of it. You don't need Facebook anyway. Is that okay? I don't know who said, hey, it's an unwritten rule that if you have a Facebook account, you have to take pictures of your food and talk about how awesome it is. Like, that's weird, you know? Like, hey, check this out. I don't know. Sidebar. But here's where everything changed. I need you to hear this. So the very first verse that we read, and God spoke. There's no transliteration there that said he did anything other than speaking audibly, out loud, for all to hear. And here's where it shifted. We get 18 verses in. If he's saying this, you know, one right after another, and he's giving maybe a little bit time for Moses to jot it down or take a mental note of it. I don't know, what, approximately 2 to 5 minutes? And then you get here, and when the people saw the thunder and the lightning, and they heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled in fear, and they stayed at a distance. And they said, hey, Moses, speak to us yourself, and we'll listen, which they didn't, by the way. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the setting? I don't know about you, but Friday, we went to Main Event, little games and kind of a little place to hang out and have, you know, a good time with kids and all kinds of stuff. And man, they had every special effect under the sun. Every game under the sun, Isaiah was like just loving. There was this one where you sit down kind of like this. So if you can see that, kind of at an angle. Well, actually, sorry. Head is here, feet are like that. Are you with me? Head is here, feet are here. So you're kind of like laying like in an awkward position, but it's a roller coaster simulator. And the thing just like, you know, jiggles you to death. It's got little fans blown at you. It's like a little tornado in your face. In the game, you're running into boxes and airplanes are swooshing by. Like, it is wild. So the thing that I think is funny here is, listen to what they said. The people saw thunder and lightning. They heard trumpets. Like, where'd that come from? The mountain was in smoke. But like, I mean, why, right? And they trembled in fear. God was the king of special effects before we had special effects. Like, come on, right? He went all out. And they were like, oh no, we are doomed. I know that sound. That sound is the sound of death. Like, help, right? So you start to grasp, like, I get it. Don't have him do that again, right? But sometimes we get so hasty in the things that we say because we want the scary-ish things to stop. We don't understand what we say. And what they were effectively doing is saying, oh, that's bad. I don't like that too much. Don't do that again. And then they agreed with something that effectively cut them off from the source of all life. And he had to come in and fix it later on down the road. But they said, we don't want to hear his voice. We want a filter. Pass it through the filter so it's safe and comfortable, and it's coming from someone just like us. We can handle that. And I encourage you, I think John was saying it here, and you might not have been able to hear him as we were praying for these that we're sending, but I believe it's something that all of us need to get. Sometimes some of us are so darn hard-headed and difficult that we need something to jar us a little bit, you know, get that, you know, just so we're awake enough to listen to his voice. God doesn't always speak that way, but sometimes he needs to, and we need him to, because we're not listening. I'll go a little step further, stepping on all the toes this morning. We have Holy Spirit dwelling, I know, stepping on all the Crocs this morning. Who, you know, where are they at? We have Holy Spirit inside of us, and we still don't listen to him. How much closer can you be? I want to lead us in a prayer. Jesus, forgive us for becoming comfortable hearing our own voice and pretending that it's you. God, it's easy to do. It is, that internal voice. But Lord, help us to be able to distinguish. And I'm not going to use the word comfortable. Lord, I can't think of the word. I don't want us to become comfortable. I'll say it this way. Help us to remain in extreme discomfort when we put our voice or any other voice above yours. Extreme discomfort. I'm talking not sleeping, weird dreams, all of the things, because we want to fix our attention on you. Jesus, help us. We're terrible at it. We need your strength. Holy Spirit, forgive us for grieving you. Forgive us for halting you and putting you in a place where you can't move freely. You want to run wild in some cases, and we say, oh, no, that's scary. We don't want that. We'll offend somebody. We'll scare them off. Forgive us for stopping you. Blow our minds. Blow our minds in the cases where you choose to be loud and boisterous, but also blow our minds in the cases where you choose to be gentle and meek and so quiet that we have to intently focus on your voice because you're teaching us at all times. Your word says that we will know your voice. Help us distinguish. Help us not get in the way. You're always speaking. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name. So my next point here, and we might actually end with this point. I asked myself, so what did we add? Because there is not a rule on this planet, regardless of the person who is the author of it, that we haven't taken and decided to say, yeah, I'd word it this way, or I'd add this, because this bothers me, so it should bother you too. So let's add this to the list, right? And I need you to hear this, and we're going to repent for this too. But did you know that without Christ, we're all just like the Pharisees? Come on. We're real good at acting religious and holy. Really good, like disgustingly good at looking pious. Oh, I've got it all together. Right? No one needs to know about that. I'll show them my good side. When I have found more often than not my ugly side, my jacked up side, all the things that I'm like, ugh, this is killing me. And everybody's like, hey, he's human, you know? You know, like, I like this. Like, I connect with that. We don't all have it all together. And we're so intent on hiding those things rather than help each other heal those things. Because I don't know about you, but you can't do it alone. You need somebody. But we're like, we want to test you first. You have to be worthy. Right? And if you're dealing with this, I don't want you helping me. Hopefully that voice sounded accurate with most of us. You know, the little smugness, you know? You're gonna be hearing my voice. You're like, oh, no, you know. Here's how bad it got. Listen to this. This is like just mind-numbing. So the Pharisees developed a system of 613 laws. This was in addition to the Ten Commandments, by the way. 300. This one blows my mind. I'll give you more details on it in my notes, but. Highlights 365 negative commands and 248 positive laws or commands. So by the time Christ came, it produced a heartless, cold, and arrogant brand of righteousness. You could see it all through the scriptures, right? We're going to talk about a couple, and I'll read a few of them just in one moment. So as such, it contained at least 10 tragic flaws. Now, just FYI, this is from the book Fan the Flame by Jay Stowell. But I like the way he put this, so I wanted to share this. Listen to what he says, and I think there's an abundant amount of truth here. And it says at least, so there could be more. So add to your list as you see fit or as it pertains to you and ask for repentance. But here's some observations. It's flawed because new laws continually need to be invented for new situations. There's not a one-size-fits-all. We see that, right? That's probably why they have 613 of them. Two, accountability to God is replaced by accountability to men. Come on, you can see it. It reduces a person's ability to personally discern. What is one of the favorite tactics of the devil? Well, I want to make you think that you don't hear the voice of God, that he doesn't speak to you, that you're not hearing him clearly on your situation, so that you will remain in chaos. Right? If I can distract or confuse or lie, you're not doing what he wants you to do. Right? And it's sugar-coated in, this is a rule. This is a good thing. Right? Number four. I'm going to, like, jackhammer some toes right on this one. It creates a judgmental spirit. If I follow the rule and you don't, what do I immediately do to you? What's wrong with you? Ugh, get away from me, you filthy sinner. Right? May not say it, but we think it. Come on. Here's another one. You see this in business. I see this all the time. Goodness. It produces inconsistencies. And the inconsistency wasn't with the Word or with the Father or with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The inconsistency was with our rules not matching His level or His standard because we are not Him. We can't fathom that. So then you create problems and flaws that people ask you questions about and you can't explain because you weren't meant to. Come on. All right, going to blow through this last one because we kind of talked about it, but it creates a false standard of righteousness. We say, here's our measuring line, and God's is at the ceiling. He's like, kind of missed it a little bit, you know. Come on now. Here's another one. This is a sad one because it not only became a burden to them, but it becomes a burden to us. It became a burden to the Jews. It becomes a burden to us. We try to live up to the expectation. And we fail every single time. It was strictly external. It didn't do anything for the inward man. No life or transformation or redemption or restoration to what he intended for us to be, because it couldn't. And then last, it was rejected by Christ. He didn't say, I fulfilled your oral tradition. He said, I fulfilled the law, the one that he gave. The one he explained or wanted to, and we were like, ugh, that's scary. Too many lights. I want to read a couple scriptures, and then I want to close with my original closing, and I'll do a different closing next time. How about that? I need you to hear what Jesus and the Holy Spirit says about this. So I'm going to nutshell this, but in a good way. I think these are timely for us. So Matthew 5, 17 through 18. He said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear. Look around. Heaven and earth still here? All right, it's not done. According to Jesus, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. I want to drop a quick nugget in, and we're going to go to Mark 7. That is also including the Ten Commandments. You want to know why? You want to know how? Because in being aligned with Jesus, abiding with Jesus, living inside of Jesus, which is what he asks us to do, we bear much fruit. One of those parts of the fruit is We obey the Ten Commandments because Jesus obeyed the Ten Commandments. He's the only one that could. So it's not gone. It's not done. It's not a suggestion. You honor your father and your mother. And the way that you do that is by honoring and cultivating a relationship with Jesus, and he takes care of the rest. Are you with me? You don't take his name in vain when you're aligned to the one and he says, I want you to say it this way. Or, even harder, I don't want you to say it at all. You get to know, but you get to keep your mouth shut because I'm not ready for you to share it yet. And you're like, but I want to. You know, he's like, what'd I say? Right? Sorry. He kind of talks that way to me because I'm one of the stubborn ones, okay? he may talk differently to you, but I'm hard-headed. All right, last scripture on this point. This one's the clincher. This is us, right? So in Mark 7, 5 through 13, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating with food their food with defiled hands? Jesus' reply colors it for you, but he goes on. Jesus replied, Isaiah, the prophet, the book, was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. So that was stinger number one. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are merely human rules. He's talking about theirs, not his. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way. Now, this is not, oh, you have a fine way. No, it's, you have a fine way, of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For instance, Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban, that's devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down, and you do many things like that. This was like the ultimate spiritual spanking of all time as recorded to scripture. Like, he just lit into them, lit into us. So my original closing was this. Jesus wants you to get real clear, real transparent, real vulnerable. Who is your master? And what commands have you been following that contradict and come completely against his? And the thing that hit me is that as I've journeyed with the Lord, and I think you'll see this, but there are places that God reveals to me all the time that I immediately have the thought of, why didn't you show me that before? I didn't want to live with this and deal with this. And in his loving way, he knows what we can handle. If he ripped out all that stuff all at one time, we would be a just a nasty mess. And most importantly, we wouldn't learn anything. Because in that pain and in that process, we're taught. We're grown. So each and every one of us in this room, if you are a Christian, if you are following Jesus, we all have those spots in our life where Jesus actively reveals day by day and says, it's time to let it go. It's time to give it up. It's time to move on. It's time to be healed. And let me fill that place now. Maybe he's left you where you've been in a journey where he's taken something out that was detrimental to you, but he hasn't filled it back up yet. And you're like, Lord, what about this spot? I want more of you. I ask for more of you, but I haven't quite seen it yet. And if your faith persists, Eli this morning as he was saying, he said, you know, I'm also reminded of faith as a mustard seed. Mustard seeds are really small, aren't they? I was like, yeah. You don't have to have a lot. It just has to persist. Because that faith is a mustard seed. What did he say it could do? It's going to move that mountain. It's going to drop it into the ocean. That would be awesome. Like I said, God is God is the king of special effects before special effects. He's talking about moving mountains. That's like movie level stuff, right? Clunk, clunk, you know. What's your mountain? Worship team, could you guys play a song for us? I want to lead us in a chorus that'll set the stage, because we're not done here yet. Whether you're in your seat, whether you're at the altar, whether you're standing, sitting, whatever, we're going to give it to Jesus. But if you sing it like you mean it. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Now we know where we're going. Let's do it again. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. So hold your hands out like you're receiving a gift. You're giving and you're getting. But whatever it is, give it to him. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, but then you fill in your blanks. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me for anger that is not righteous. Forgive us for the lies that we tell, expecting them to comfort and to not cause more pain, but we're really hurting them more. Jesus, forgive us for the things that we omit, the things that we say don't apply to us as it pertains to your scriptures, to your truth, to your command. Forgive us for judgmental hearts towards those who are Christians and pre-Christians. They don't know you yet, but they will. How are we teaching them? How are we guiding them? How are we hurting them? Jesus, use us to be that salt and light. That salt that makes that food tasty. Help us not be bland. Help us not be disgusting and people desire to pour us out because we're good for nothing. But help us to bring value and joy and peace so that you can do what you do best and woo them unto yourself. Jesus, help us to cultivate relationships with you that go far above and beyond all of our expectations. Jesus, as a people, help us align with your vision and your mission as you continue to unfold it to the people in this place. Lord, I believe in my heart of hearts that just as you've spoken it to me, I believe you've revealed it to many others still, even before I've uttered a word, that it is in their hearts. And Lord, as we are united in dreaming big, Lord, things will change in our community. Things will change in this city, in this state, in this atmosphere. I'm reminded of a song you said, when you walk into the room, everything changes and you dwell in us. So Lord, help us to be humble bearers of your name. People who are unafraid to speak your truth in every situation, including the ones that are uncomfortable. I encourage you right now to keep your hands lifted, keep your hands in that position of receiving, and just pour your heart out to Jesus. The word in Psalm 23 says that he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And as it pertains to the Christian in these days, it could be summed up as your enemy. Whatever's coming against you, it's not from him, but he can turn it around for your good. And your cup will be running over, but you got to give it to him. Relinquish control. Jesus, I pray for all those online who are hearing this message. Lord, they see that it's less about rules and more about just doing what you say because we love you so much. It's not a burden when it's in relationship and love. It's not a burden. It's a joy. So Lord, help us to see that. Help us to receive that. Help us to be an example of that to the people around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.